You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. My name is Tao Nguyen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent. Match with them, thanks to Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And Song Exploder listeners will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Song Exploder. Terms and conditions apply.
Sleater-Kinney was formed in 1994 by singer and guitarist Corin Tucker and singer and guitarist Carrie Brownstein. Drummer Janet Weiss was a member of the band from 1997 until 2019. In Time magazine in 2001, author and critic Greil Marcus named Sleater-Kinney America's best band. Over the years, they've made 9 albums, including this year's The Center Won't Hold, which was produced by Annie Clark of St. Vincent. In this episode, Corin Tucker and Carrie Brownstein break down how the song The Future Is Here was made. It began with a visit to the LA music venue, Zebulon.
This is Corin Tucker from Sleater-Kinney.
And this is Carrie Brownstein, also from Sleater-Kinney. So Corin was visiting me in LA, and I said, there's this really great performance art slash comedy night that I go to once a month at Zebulon. It's called Weirdo Night. And we saw a performer named Joseph Koeckler there, who is basically an opera singer.
The strangers from the internet are standing outside. The strangers from the internet have come from far and wide.
There was a whole performance art aspect to his performance as well.
Yeah, it was beautiful and funny and
sad.
Yeah, a little heartbreaking. Anyway, I feel like you wrote this song after that.
I did.
It's really energizing to leave a night of performance, especially something that isn't necessarily right in your wheelhouse, and think, oh, I want to go home and write music after this.
Yeah. So I saw his performance and I was floored by his vocals. And we kept talking about, like, oh, he's got such a gorgeous voice. What if we worked with him or someone like that? What if we had like a male voice on the album? You know, what would it be like for me to write with like a male voice and a female voice? What if it's a duet? And I just did it on a whim of, like, I got inspired by Weirdo Night and, you know, threw this thing down on my computer. This was our first record that we had written this way, demoed in GarageBand. You know, it was really the first time where I had demoed a full song. I mean, mostly Carrie and I would work on things together and come up with guitar lines together. So this was a really different process for me. So I was kind of fumbling my way through it. That bass is just one of the, like, very basic Apple bass sounds that you can do. And I literally am there on my, like, computer typewriter keyboard.
That is crazy to me. I don't think I knew that. I'm going to buy you a keyboard.
No, that's just all I had. And I was, like, brand new to, like, writing on the computer.
I like the novice quality to me. I feel like we've played guitar for so many years, and sometimes that rudimentary relationship to an instrument is actually the most inspired one. And I think that's why we wrote very few songs on guitar. We also needed to kind of have more of a proof of concept. You know, when you're sending things back and forth, you're not in the same room as your bandmates to say, well, this is my idea, and you just start talking about it. You're really actually sending it to ostensibly an audience. They're your bandmates when they're in the room, but when they're just listening at home, they're an audience and you have to kind of prove something to them. So I think we went further in the demo versions than we usually did.
Yeah, I really loved it because I wrote the verse in a lower register than I've sang on a Slater Kinney record.
I start my day on a tiny screen, try to connect the words, they're right in front of me.
And I think I sent it to Carrie and she was like, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I don't hear Korn singing very low. You know, she doesn't use that register. And, you know, as someone who appreciates the high caterwaul, scrawling version of Korn's voice, we've called that the tool before in our band. It's a very powerful singing voice. But, you know, when you've been working with someone for so long and you hear something that sounds different, I think your ear is drawn to that. And I was really enthused by it. And also, I don't know, it was kind of sexy but disaffected.
I read the news, I can't make sense of it, and I don't recognize what is my place in it.
And I was like, okay, well, should we get a hold of Joseph Koeckler and ask him to sing it? I think Annie was like, no, I want you to sing it.
The producer on this album is Annie Clark, who also goes by Saint Vincent. She is a very accomplished singer, songwriter, guitarist, Grammy winning, actually, and a friend of ours. And this is the first album that she has produced. So we feel lucky. Well, it was actually Janet's idea to work with Annie. She's someone I've known for a long time. We've all known her, but also has a history with this band, was a fan coming in to figure out a new way of putting things together with the same parts.
When Annie listened to the demo, she really liked it, but she was like, well, definitely you should be singing this. I was like, really? Because I, in my mind, definitely thought like we were going to have some other guest voice. I liked the idea of like a male perspective and female perspective coming together and singing together on the chorus. It's like they both are longing for connection. So for her to say, well, no, I really want you to sing it, I was like, well, it still needs to me to be two different characters. So I wanted to make the two vocals very different from each other.
I start my day on a tiny screen. I end my day on a tiny screen. Try to connect the words that are right in front of me.
I had this freedom on my mind that I was actually writing for a male singer, but to then take that and explore just being that character myself was very freeing. There's so many different voices that a songwriter can explore that don't have to be tied to your own gender or your own body in any way. That's a really freeing element of writing.
I walk to work out on the city streets. No one speaks to me, their stony faces beat.
When I hear the stems on this song, like of your vocals, I can recall Annie trying to elicit a very specific feeling and not just let's get the notes. You can never just take for granted that your only job is to sing this melody you wrote.
I was having a really hard time with the low register.
Mm-hmm.
And she had me come back several times. And on this one day, for whatever reason, suddenly just the clouds or whatever cleared for me and I could hit all the low notes that I'd written.
I start my day on a tiny screen, try to connect the words that are right in front of me.
The vocals kind of dictate where everything else is gonna land and what sort of space it takes up sonically. So Korn has this great melody. I'll find my way into it, around it.
I end my day on a tiny screen. I try to reach for you.
I still think with Korn and I in terms of point, counterpoint, and even when I'm not singing counter to her, which we haven't done on a couple records actually, I still think of my guitar as a conversational element in our songs, playing off her vocal melody.
Tell me.
Those swampy seasick chords. I think I had the tone turned down on the guitar, not having that brightness, but just really getting a sense of like the friction and the intensity with which you like strum. You know, I think when you roll tone off, sometimes you can really sort of feel the weight of like the pick or fingers across the strings. And I like that. Yeah, that's an edit, cutting that off. There's a lot of little moments like that, trying to mix things that felt kind of fluid with this sense of like abruptness. And so there were things that felt sort of like prematurely stopped. That's a classic Annie production. She would just, you know, Kian Reardon was our engineer. And Kian would say like, okay, we'll fade that. She's like, no, a tighter cut, a tighter, you know, like.
I wanted something that was like kind of a backbeat for the song that sounded like this churning industrial city.
So Kian programmed something and then when Janet came in, obviously Janet drummed on it. You know, if we were like sending stuff back and forth, we would send without drums because it's just like you want a drummer to have a sense of possibility. So it was like, you can listen to this program stuff or here's the version without it to just come in fresh. And the songs would really take a leap with the real drums. Kian, the engineer, is great with drums and is a drummer himself. And when Janet was playing, she would ask him to put the effects in her headphones so that she could imagine and get into the world of the song. So it felt like her drum kit was not just what was in front of her, but had endless possibilities. So I think some of the stuff you hear is probably what she actually was also listening to in order to come up with the part.
Annie came up with a whole intro. I mean, she wrote this beautiful, sad melody for the intro that I think really adds to setting the scene of the song. Something that was really exciting about this record is that we were adding this low end that Sleater-Kinney's never really done before, because we are a two-guitar band that never had a bass player on our records. And so by using these synth basses, we were able to just dip into this whole other area sonically that we hadn't done before and that we were really excited about. Na, 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 na. We definitely arranged with Annie in the studio. The Nanas were a guitar line that I had as the bridge.
Oh, right.
And she was like, oh, that, we're going to do that
right
in the chorus as a Nana.
Na, 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 na.
Lots of layering of those vocals. The verses speak of a sense of loneliness. They're sung alone. And it gets me every time when Corin says, never have I felt so goddamn lost and alone.
Never have I felt so goddamn lost and alone.
You know, Corin has always been able to cut through the BS lyrically and just say something so plaintive and earnest and still get you in the gut. And I love that line. I love how she sings it. It's so honest. It's just so laid bare.
Something that I think Weirdo Night was really good at showing was people who are just longing to be seen as who they really are and to be accepted for that. And it definitely brought out another level of exploration of sadness, of depression, of longing for connection.
So the choruses come in and the narrator is joined by many, many people in order to uplift the song and the singer and the listener as well. This song does deal with a lot of despair and themes that are murky and a little bit hard to wade through. So we wanted to counter that with catchiness and also with a bunch of people singing so that you might feel less alone.
I need you more than I ever had because the future's here and we can't go back.
And now, here's The Future Is Here by Slater Kinney in its entirety. Visit songexploder.net to learn more about Slater Kinney and for a link to buy or stream this song. There's also info on Joseph Koeckler, Weirdo Night at Zebulon, and a link to Annie Clark's own episode of Song Exploder about a St. Vincent song.
This message comes from Apple Card. Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City Branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply. Song Exploder is sponsored by DistroKid. If you're an independent artist, DistroKid is a great way to get your music distributed. You get unlimited uploads, and you get to keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. There are more than a million artists, including me, who have used DistroKid to get their music into all the major streaming services, Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, everywhere. The DistroKid app is now available on iOS and Android. Go to the app or Play Store to download it now. And for 10% off your first year's membership, go to distrokid.com/VIP/songexploder.
This episode was edited by executive producer Hrishikesh Hirway. The team also includes producer Christian Coons, production assistant Nick Song, illustrator Carlos Lerma, and me, Tao Nguyen. I'm guest hosting the podcast for the year. Special thanks to Joseph Koeckler, Mac Burris, and Olivia Wood. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collection of independent podcasts. You can learn more about all of the shows and find out how you can support at radiotopia.fm. You can also find Song Exploder on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Song Exploder, and you can find me at Tao Gets Day Down. My name is Tao Nguyen. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their sixth season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest. And then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.